السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, our sisters listening on the madrasa and those listening over receivers. Last week we discussed a little about Mi'raj, that why did it take place. Since this is the month of Rajab, and there will be a lot of bayans and discussion taking place on Mi'raj, so we will also touch on one or two aspects of Mi'raj. If we have to discuss the whole of Mi'raj, then we can go on. There's so much in it. It was one of the most beautiful journeys of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a miracle and a mu'jiza of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them some ayat and some signs. Some of them were given such mu'jizat, which were given so that the people of that time, whatever was considered at that time as a great virtue, like in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a lot of sihr, magic. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, miracles were such that nobody could match it. And it was shown that this is a mu'jiza. No one can learn or train to do such kind of things. When he put his staff on the ground, it swallowed up all those snakes, and I'm not going in the direction of mu'jizat. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, they threw him in the fire. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ordered the fire directly. Qulna ya naru kuni bardam wa salaman ala Ibrahim. The mu'jizat of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them as a great virtue or a sign, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given everything. So one of the greatest miracles after the Quran Sharif was this Mi'raj. The Quran Sharif is a living miracle till the day of Qiyamah. Mi'raj was the Mi'raj that took place in that night. But the Quran Sharif will live on till the day of Qiyamah. So all the different mu'jizats, one of it was this Mi'raj. We discussed why did it take place last week. Now tonight I just want to discuss something which you have been listening to many, many times when we talk about Mi'raj. One is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was made to meet certain Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in the different heavens. After leaving from Masjid al-Aqsa, then when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the lift was brought, and now he was being taken for Mi'raj. Then on each sky, because all this what we see is suspended way, way below the first heaven. The sun, the moon, the stars and everything else that we see, it is within reach of man. But when we are talking about this beginning of the skies, the beginning of the heavens, so there has to be a tapping of the door that is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. Who is it? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was being taken by the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Now not that Allah Ta'ala did not know, he had invited him, but to show the others, the angels and everyone else, the azmat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that with what shan he is being brought up. So in the different heavens, different people of different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam he met. Now from amongst all those that he met in Masjid al-Aqsa, the 124,000 odd Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Now here, why these particular ones are being chosen? Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now it is mentioned Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam because Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was in Jannat. And the enmity of Shaitan, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, was then sent onto this earth. So it was like a hijrat that he made from Jannat to this earth. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is given the indication that in your life also very soon hijrat is going to take place. Because after returning from Mi'raj in the 12th year, as is mentioned, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then following year he made hijrat. Then all the difficulties, tests and trials that he was faced with, and the ummah that will come in this world, they also will be faced with such kind of tests and trials. So here Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, after coming onto this earth, we know his istighfar and his tawbah and his nadamat and his shame. Although he had not committed any sin, it was just an error of judgment. He was not eating that fruit so that he may be disobedient to Allah Ta'ala or for some lust and passion. It was so that he may live forever and ever in Jannat. That's what he was told. Now, which person does not want to live forever and ever in Jannat? But it was Allah Ta'ala's planning that he must come onto the earth. And so he came onto the earth, but with his du'as, with his tawbah, Adam and Hawa, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. After that, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, we know, will be back in Jannat. So he is meeting Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam as the very first Nabi on the first heaven. So to give this indication, it is just like indicators we say. When a person is traveling, then he gives indication that he is turning right or he is turning left. So like that, these are indicators that these are things that are going to happen in your life. So take lessons from Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. That just as he was troubled, people are going to trouble you. But Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, we all know, so know that he was the first, or he is our forefather. And it is said that when he used to look right, he used to look at the souls of those that will go to Jannat, he used to get extremely happy. And when he used to look left, he looks at the souls of those people going to hell and he used to get extremely sad. Again indicating that to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, his children, he wanted to see them going to Jannat. The concern that he had and the sadness that he felt for those people that were going to go to Jahannam or fire of hell. So again, there's a lesson in there for all of us until the day of Qiyamah. That a father should be concerned, mother should be concerned in which direction the child is going. If the child is enjoying all the things of this world, dancing, singing, going to the clubs, and has got the TV and movie and latest cell phone and everything else, and going towards the fire of Jahannam, then that parent cannot be happy and satisfied and complacent. It shows that there's a major weakness in that parent's iman, that he's not showing or she's not showing concern that in which direction this child is going. In any case, Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is meeting with Hazrat Yahya and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Yahya and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, again there were indicators that the Jews, they were troubling these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam so much that finally they assassinated, made shaheed of Hazrat Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. And as far as the Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is concerned, then they tried their level best to hang him, to crucify him, or do whatever they had planned. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had raised Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to the heavens. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. So they were put into a confusion. That who was it? Because Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was not there. So who was it that they then crucified? So Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to the Jews did not leave him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informed by means of this mulaqat that just as these two Nabis of mine, they were given so much of trouble, so much of hardship and so much of problem. The Jews did not leave them. Like that, the Jews of your time also are not going to leave you. They are going to give you a tremendous amount of problems. And that is exactly what happened when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to Madina Tayyiba. That now these Jews, they formed a whole confederation with even the Kuffar and Mushrikeen of Makkah to come and destroy the Muslims. They planned and plotted in every way that they could. They built the Masjid al-Zirar, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. The Masjid which was built for no other purpose but mischief, to create friction and disunity in the Ummah. And look at all the other kinds of difficulties that they put Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam through. Again, when it came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the scandal that was carried out, and the false accusation and the lies, all this, the Jews were involved in all that. It was only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy and help and nusrat that the Muslims were able to overpower them. And then, of course, later, most of them accepted Islam. Again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's meeting with Hazrat Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, wa rafa'nahu makanan aliyya. Again, there's so much in it there. He was raised onto the fourth heaven. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is meeting with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the whole history, the whole story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is really an eye-opener and so much of lessons for all mankind till the day of Qiyamah. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this story is brought before him, meeting Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that look at him. That he was the beloved dear child, the youngest of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. But his brothers were jealous, they were envious. So they, in the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, just to give you in a nutshell, we are not going into details, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being, so to say, informed, that look at Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that there was jealousy, there was malice, there was greed, there was pride, there was arrogance in these people's lives. And then there was so much of plotting and planning and scheming and everything that they did. And yet these people were his brothers. But they could not see Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam being loved and liked by the father. So they even went to that extent that they made up a big story after they took him, in the pretext that they are taking him to play and enjoy himself and be happy. But then they come back and they say, wolf devoured him. But just that their intelligence was of such a level that they, after having put some blood of a sheep on the shirt of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when they brought that shirt back and they said, a wolf devoured him. So there was no sign of any tearing of that shirt, nothing. So this must be a very, very brilliant wolf that he devours, but he only eats up the flesh without the shirt or without the kurta being harmed in any way. So they made a big fool of themselves. But in any case, that whole history after that is put into the well. And then he imagines Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam being thrown into the well by his own brothers. First they were plotting and planning to have him assassinated. But then someone said that, no, put him into the well. From the well he is taken out. He is sold in the marketplace as a slave. The Aziz of Misr purchases him. He goes into the palace of the king as a slave. But so beautiful, so handsome. Zulaikha becomes influenced. She starts seducing. Then he has to go to jail. Yet it was no fault of his. There was nothing but lies. There was nothing but scandal. There was nothing but false accusation. But he says, Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilayya. O Allah, the prison is better for me to go into than to fulfill the desire of this woman. That is the gist of it. Then in prison again, then he interprets the dream and he comes out. Then Allah Ta'ala raises him to a great position. He now becomes in charge of the treasures of Egypt. And Allah Ta'ala gives him that position that now his own brothers have to come before him. But again the lesson there, that in spite of having reached such heights, when his brothers come, then he tells them, لَا تَثْرِيبُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. No revenge, no kind of revenge. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgive you. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the same thing at the time of Fatah Makkah. So this is being relayed to him that in your life also there will be this plotting, this planning, this scheming. We know what Abu Lahab did, what Abu Jahl did and all these people, what kind of schemes. Then Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Look at the jealousy. Look at the pride and the arrogance that these people had. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, again that false accusation here. There the false accusation against Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's wife, she's being falsely accused. Allah ta'ala reveals the ayat of the Quran Sharif, read Surah Nur. So there's so much of things that are mentioned there, which you will find again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going to go through, or is already going through so much of it. He's meeting with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Harun. Again there, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the types of problem that the Bani Israel gave to you. Unreal kind of problem. Hazrat Harun also is pleading to them, don't worship this cow. But Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam just went to get the, from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the Torah. And what happens here is they start worshipping the cow. But after some time, those very people who troubled, they became like fida and ashiks of the same people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is also being informed that after all the trouble and difficulties and hardships, then these same people will become your ashiks. The same people will give their lives over you. The same people who were his enemies, who left no stone unturned in the path of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or they left no stone unturned to cause difficulties, hardship and pain and suffering to the most beloved of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But then afterwards, many of them accepted Islam, and they were the ones who then gave the lives for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's cause and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's deen, and for the protection of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So in Mi'raj, most of these things were relayed directly, indirectly to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So there is one section of Mi'raj that why the meeting with certain Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. A selection from all those that had gathered in Masjid Aqsa. Now if you have to take the life of each Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he met there and then discuss in detail, then we can go on till Qiyamah will never finish. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's whole life, look at the amount of literature, the volumes and volumes that are being written. Still nobody can say that he has reached the depth. There is no depth. He cannot reach the bottom of the ocean. Then the other thing is that in Mi'raj itself, which again as I say that many times you may have heard, but this is why we repeat, so that it refreshens our iman. And especially now that many of the people are coming onto the path, many want to have started making salat, which they were not making before. Many are making zikr, tilawat, ibadat, with the works of deen that are taking place all around, whether it is the tabligh and dawat movement, whether it is the khanqahs, whether it is the madrasas, darul ulums, publications, Islamic literature, translations of the Quran Sharif, commentaries and tafsir that is taking place in the different masajid, then commentaries of Hadith Sharif. Now there's so much. Then again the radio stations, and in many countries even the television, they have Islamic programs, so to say. Now there are so many people who had absolutely no connection with deen, but they are now connecting with deen. And when they connect with deen, then what happens is that they start off with some salat, some zakat, some fasting, some tilawat, and then we begin to think that we have really reached a very great height now, and there's no one like us. Our piety is of a level that even the skies feel ashamed of. Now that is what is the danger level. That is what happens, that pride starts coming into the heart. We start looking down upon others. We have a holier-than-thou attitude. We may have 1001 kind of sins in our lives, but another person is committing just one sin and our gaze will go on to that sin. And we will disgrace that person and humiliate him and run him down because of that one sin that the person is committing. Yet he has got so much of other virtues in his life. But we are not going to look at that huge snake that is wrapped around our own necks. We are going to look at that little fly that is sitting on the forehead of the other person. So that holier-than-thou attitude has destroyed many, many people. And thereafter they suffer sometimes in such a manner that everything is snatched away. That very person was frequenting the masjid 5 times a day. He was making tilawat, zikr and ibadat and giving charities and going for hajj and umrahs and everything. Because of that pride and because of that arrogance, it is snatched away because he was looking down upon the others, considered himself to be superior. We can always think of ourselves as having more ilm and more knowledge than the other person. A person who is a qualified mechanic, now he can consider himself to be qualified in that field and an expert in that field. Or the person who is matriculant, or the person who has graduated, he has become an engineer, doctor, teacher, lawyer. Now that person can think that I've got more knowledge than those who are in grade 1, 2 and 5. But to think of ourselves, or the person who is in a Darul Uloom is in the first year, second year, 10th year, or the last year, he can always think of himself as having more knowledge than the one who is in the Maktab, who is still reading Alif Bata. But he cannot think of himself as superior. Only Allah Ta'ala knows on the day of Qiyamah when he will say, my Banda, I am happy and pleased with whatever you did, now you can go into Jannat. And that will be the day to rejoice. Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. So in this also, this mulaqat with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us such a lesson, such a lesson. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, he has quoted this from the riwayat of Ibn Malik. So this are tahiyyat, which we have discussed many times. But there is a lesson for us, that the greatest after Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the closest to Allah Ta'ala, the highest in his ma'rifat, in yaqeen of Allah Ta'ala, tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala, the one whose akhlaq and whose character Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Highest pedestal of sublime character. No way any person can point a finger at any aspect of his life. No deficiency, no weakness of any kind. Absolutely no sin. There's no question of hurting anybody without justification. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq, volumes and volumes have been written. His forgiveness, his mercy, his kindness, his generosity, his sincerity, his charities, look at every aspect. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so many wives, but look at his relationship with his wives. Which wife was desirous of leaving Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Which wife said that, no, I'm better off if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam divorces me? As we so common nowadays. So the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ibadat, can any person match? He used to stand for hours and hours, his feet used to swell. Quran Sharif he is reading, paras and paras and paras is reading. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, sajda sometimes, so long sajda. That is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala nas, that I thought he had passed away. He had to tap his heels to see whether he is still alive. That's the kind of sajda he is making. A time is coming in his ibadah where he does not even recognize Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. After tahajjud, then she comes in front of him there. She's in that small little room there. But he's asking, Mananti, who are you? She's Aisha. Which Aisha? Aisha bint Abi Bakr, daughter of Abu Bakr. Which Abu Bakr? Son of Abu Quhafa. Which Abu Quhafa, Hazrat Aisha got the shock of her life. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam afterwards informed her that there is a time between him and Allah. for a Nabi and Allah, that nobody can come in between, not even the closest angel. That kind of status, that kind of stages, that kind of height. And yet when he goes to Mi'raj, it is as if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is asking him that, what did you bring for me? When a person goes to visit some president, some king of the country, or the person is going to visit some person of respect and dignity and honor, then he takes some gift and goes and gives that person. He says, I brought for you some gift. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what is he short of? What is there that Allah ta'ala does not possess? All the treasures are from Allah ta'ala. He blesses with life, with health, with wealth. All the gold, silver, uranium, platinum, diamonds, everything, who has placed it under the ground? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is providing from the time of creation of the heavens and the earth, and he will go on providing, and then in Jannah he will go on providing. So what is he short of? What Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to see is our humility and our submission. Now the greatest after Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he could have bragged on that night of Mi'raj, that, oh Allah, you saw how much of ibadat I made. You saw how much of zikr I made. You saw how I was hurt in Taif. My shoes were filled with my blood. You saw that I was stoned in Uhud. All those things that were going to come afterwards, but at least up till now, in Makkah Sharif, look at the life that when he went into sajda, intestines of animals are placed on his back. The urchins and all those children and the dogs are put behind him in Taif. Allah Ta'ala saw all that. He could have said, Ya Allah, you saw what ibadat I made and how much of sacrifices I made. But what is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam presenting? What is he presenting as a gift? At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. Oh Allah, that is what I have brought. All my oral ibadat is for you. All my physical ibadat is for you. Solely for you. And all my monetary ibadat is also for you. A person can only make ibadat with these three things. Either he's going to make zikr, he's going to make tilawat, he's going to speak good words, he's going to make nasihat with the tongue. The person is going to make tasbih with the tongue. The person will give good counseling with the tongue. All the good things either done with the tongue. So he says, all my oral ibadat is for you, O Allah. Whatever I may have done in the form of zikr or the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, whichever was revealed up till then, all the nasihat and all the waaz that I may have given and all the advices and all the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's aqwal which we read of, say, all that, O Allah, solely for you I have brought. It wasn't done for anyone else. There was no shay in it for anyone else. It was solely for you, my beloved Allah. All the person will do with his body. When he's making namaz, he's raising his hands. He's folding his hands. He's going into ruku. He's bending down. He's going into sajda. He's making tashahud. Now everything that he's doing is physical ibadat. In the same way, when the person is going for hajj, there's physical ibadat. Everything that he's doing there, he's doing tawaf, and he's doing safa marwa, and he's going to Mina, and Arafat, and Muzdalifa, and coming back to Mina, and then again going for tawaf as ziyarat, stoning the jamarat. Now look at the activity. What is he using? He's using his body. Then if he's going to assist and help the poor and the needy, or there's flood somewhere and he's going to assist. Fire has caught and razed the homes of many, many people and he's going to assist. Or the person is going to deliver some parcels, some hampers, and now all these type of things, then again it is the body. The person is going for jihad, again it is the body. Besides that, there's so many things that the person will have to use his body. The ibadah that he'll be making will be with his body. It'll be physical ibadat. And as we know that everything and anything that the person does within the parameters of Quran and Sunnah in accordance with the command and hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it is ibadat. So he's eating, he's drinking, and everything again is the body. He's walking and he's talking and everything. So now the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, all my physical ibadat is also solely for you, my Allah. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. And the third way is by wealth, that the person will spend out of his wealth. Whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given him, which is wealth of the material kind, now that wealth, he is using of that. His zakat is of the wealth. His sadaqat is from the wealth. His qurbani is from the wealth. His aqiqahs are from the wealth. His assistance and help to the poor, the needy, the destitute of any kind is from his wealth. Now again the person is spending of his wealth. Now there too again the pride sometimes comes into the heart of a person that look how much of charities I have given. I run that madrasa. I run that masjid. I run those institutions. And I have contributed so much for this cause and for that cause. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after giving everything that he possessed, and not only that, but his wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the richest woman in Makkah Mukarramah, but when she comes into his nikah, because of her large heart, she gave everything to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Even that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where did he spend it? But after all that he says, وَالصَّلَوَاتُ وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ. Oh my Allah, my qawli ibadat, my badani ibadat, and my mali ibadat, oral, physical, and monetary, solely for you. What a lesson for us. Who can ever reach those heights? All the awliya-i-kiram of the world cannot reach the feet of the sahaba-i-kiram radiallahu anhu. All put together, the lowest sahabi, they can't reach his status. Where can we reach Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Look at the lesson he is giving, because that is what the Quran Sharif has taught. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. My namaz, my worship, qurbani, my life and my death, all for Allah Ta'ala, who's Rabbul Alameen. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he presented this, he gave us a big lesson that no matter how high we may reach, but our humility must always be conspicuous in our lives. Always acknowledge that we are weak. And don't have any kind of superiority complex. Don't think of ourselves as already being jannatis. Those who were promised jannat, but they kept on crying before Allah. Promised jannat. Abu Bakr fil jannah, Umar fil jannah, Uthman fil jannah. Now those Ashra Mubashara and others promised jannat, but look at their humility. Look at their khawf of khuda. Look at their muhabbat and ishq of Allah in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They didn't relax. So what are we really doing? Just a little bit of namaz and we think that we are in the heavens already. And yet our namaz, we all know, we know what kind of namaz we make. Where is that khushu and khuzu? Namaz was the greatest gift that was given to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the night of Mi'raj to connect us with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, if there was any kind of danger that he perceived, immediately hastens to a salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam through salat, how many problems were solved. The sahaba ikram through their salat, how much of problems they solved. Because it's a connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They make use of the means of the world also. Then why don't we consider this also as a great means? First make namaz, ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then go into the marketplace and beg. And go and seek sustenance, make use of the means, because it is Allah Ta'ala who will either make it successful or He will make it a failure. The success and failure is from Allah Ta'ala. No way in the Quran Sharif or Hadith Sharif is it mentioned that if you are going to adopt the means, then you will definitely get the fruits. Does it mention anywhere that if you marry, then you will definitely get a child? It's a means of a halal and a legitimate child. But no way in the Quran Sharif is it mentioned that adopting the means will definitely give you your objective. Business is a means. It's a means. You open the shop. If Allah Ta'ala sends the customers, then they will come. And if Allah Ta'ala does not send them, then you can have all the best of the items stocked up. They will pass your shop and go and buy from somewhere else. It is Allah Ta'ala who is sending. So adoption of means is necessary because we are living in a world of means. But to believe that the moment we adopt a mean, then finish, we will definitely see the results. That is just an illusion. So namaz is also that means. And look at all the virtues of salat. Look at the virtues of salat. Read other Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's kitab, Fazail Salat, which is read in the Jamaat. He didn't write it only for the Jamaat. Read those virtues that are there. Read the warnings that are there on those who neglect the salat. The neglect of Jamaat, look at the warnings that are written there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what kind of warnings he gave. So this was a gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told us, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that my ummat couldn't make one property, so you're going to ask Allah ta'ala to reduce from 50. We're not going into the details, so he went up, it was reduced by 5, he came, we told him again, go back. So he went again, reduction of another 5, another 5, another 5. Until only 5 namazes were left. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then gave the glad tiding. I tell your ummah that this 5 salat they make, they will get the reward of the same 50 salat. Otherwise, if 50 salat had been made farz on us, will any one of us be able to make it? We can't make 5 properly, would we have made 50? So as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he made this ihsan on us that he requested. But when there's only 5 left, he said, I cannot go now, because now it means that the 5 must be taken away too. So no gift would have been left after that. So Allah Ta'ala's ihsan that he equated it with 50. But deep down in the hearts of many is, I wish he went again. If only he had gone again, then we wouldn't have had to make any salat. That is like saying that the person did not want to even have any kind of mulaqat with his Allah. Because when the person is in sajda, is mi'raj al-mu'mineen. The person is communicating with Allah Ta'ala. He's going into ruku, he's going to sajda. It is the closest that he comes to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then look at all the rewards on that salat. The virtues of salat, so many. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he demonstrated to us, practical, that whatever it is, it was all for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure. And we find this in the lives of the Khulafa Rashideen, the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that anything and everything that they did of ibadat, whether it was physical, moral, oral, or whether it was of the material kind, you find the ikhlas of a level that we can't even imagine. That incident of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is extremely easy to speak. And which alim or which mufti or which person in the jamaat or which person in the khanqa cannot state that incident. And how many places it is mentioned. And how easily we mention it. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala in one battle. Now the enemy, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, had overpowered him. But after some, and he was about to take his neck off. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala had overpowered the enemy and he was about to take the neck off of that enemy. And just before he could take the neck off, the person spat on Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala's face. He thought, if I'm going to die, then why should I die just like that? I'd rather spit on his face and go. At least he gets some satisfaction that he also did something. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala moves away immediately. just leaves him. Now what would have been the consequence of that? The natural consequence. The natural consequence would have been that this person would have taken his sword and taken the neck of Hazrat Ali off. Because he's there, he's got him cornered. That person was going all out to kill Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, but Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala overpowered him. So the consequence would have been that as soon as he moved, he would have taken the sword and taken Hazrat Ali's neck off. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was prepared that he die as a shaheed, that his neck be gone, but not prepared that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tell him, O Ali, when he spat on your face, so then you took his neck off because you got angry over that. Your battle before that was for my pleasure, and now it was for that anger that came because he spat on your face. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when he was asked, that is what he said. That up till then I was fighting for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. And when he spat on my face, that anger came now. So now it was nafsani anger. Although there was no nafsaniya there, but it was like killing that person now because of that anger, which was for personal reason. So he said, he let him go. And so what was the effect of that? That person read kalima. He accepts Islam. And he remains with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala for years until he becomes shaheed in one of the battles. That was the effect of the ikhlas of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And this is something that you can write it down and engrave it, that if your person does anything with ikhlas, with sincerity, solely for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's pleasure, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give from his treasure. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, after that he assists those people that are doing some work sincerely. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. So what did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then give in return? That, oh my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you did your namaz, you did your tilawat, you did your zikr, you give all your ibadat, whether oral or physical or monetary, was all for my pleasure, it was only for my sake. There was no share in it for anyone else. There was no riya in it. There was no show business in it. There was no pride in it. There was no ujub in it, vanity. So therefore, from my side down, take a gift. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salamati be on you, O my beloved Nabi. Salamati. And this word salam itself, look at the meaning of it. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, from my side, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah, the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, wa barakatuh, and the barakat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala promised Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam salamati. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Rahmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the barakat, the blessings. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his large heartedness, his concern for the ummah, his desire that everyone go to Jannat, and his love, first of all, for the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhu majma'in, who were also going through such difficulties, tests and trials, he does not forget them in a place where a person would forget everyone else. Who will remember anyone if they had to be given that kind of an audience? When the person goes to meet the king or prime minister or president of a country, there he goes and forgets all his friends. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, not only for me. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. Salamati be upon us. Till the day of Qiyamah, whoever will be of the righteous servants, whoever is going to have salah in him, taqwa in him, piety in him, whoever is obedient to you and your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever will be from the salihin, I'm just giving an explanation, then salamati, these three things before them also, as-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin, Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. So I've explained this many times that these are the things that we want. We want salamati. We want peace. We want tranquility. We want sukoon. We want protection of our homes, our wealth, our children, our lives. We want everything that can be covered in salamati. And then we want rahmat and mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Who can live without the mercy of Allah ta'ala? We want Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy. And we want barakat. We want barakat, we want blessings. We want barakat in our homes, in our life, in our time, in our businesses, everywhere we want barakat. So this is the prescription that if you want it, then what must you do? The prescription is that if you want these things, then come of the salihin. Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Come of the righteous, come of the pious. Develop taqwa. Have muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And have the khawf of Allah ta'ala. And it's not going to make you an abnormal person. It will not deprive you of the good things of this world. The person will still eat, drink, marry, do his business, he'll do everything. But Allah ta'ala will bless him with sukoon in his life. It's the experience of millions of people. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give until the day of qiyamah. Sukoon in the heart, tranquility, this restlessness will go away from the heart. At present that restlessness is destroying the lives of people. They've got no peace of mind. And this person who is from the salihin, is from the righteous, then outward condition may be of sickness, of pain, maybe of poverty, maybe of somebody's accident took place in the family, sometimes the person's house got burned, sometimes the person's money got lost, sometimes this happened, that happened. The person may be in hospital, strapped to the bed there. But inside his heart, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cause the oceans of his muhabbat to flow. And he'll get such kind of sukoon, and tranquility with even the kings of the world and the rulers of the world and the Oppenheimers of the world and those who have got the diamond mines and they've got the oil wells, but they also won't enjoy that kind of sukoon. Nahi khatam hoti e mauje musalsal. Nahi khatam hoti e mauje musalsal. Mere bahare gham ka kinara nahi hai. Siwa tere koi sahara nahi hai. Siwa tere koi hamara nahi hai. Samandar ka sahil, pahadon ka daman. Samandar ka sahil, pahadon ka daman. Bajus aah ke kuch hamara nahi hai. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam who has been at Sidratul Muntaha many over years and he said أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Ah, what a beautiful discourse between Allah Ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How much of lesson in there for us. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make us of the righteous and the pious. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with ikhlas in all of our amal, our deeds, our actions. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with his qurb, with his marifat, with yaqeen, with tawakkul and trust. And may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless us also with salamati. May he bless us with his rahmat. And may he bless us with barakat. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Ya arhamar rahimin. Ya akramal akramin. Ya ghiyathal mutaqin. Ya zal jalali wal ikram. Ya zal jalali wal ikram. Ya Zal Jalali Wal Ikram, يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, Ummat of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of night. Forgive the sins of our eyes, our ears, our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. Make us of the righteous and pious. We are extremely weak servants of yours. Ya Rabbi Kareem, bless us with ikhlas in all our a'mal and actions. Protect us and safeguard us from adultery, from fornication. Protect us and safeguard us from cheating, from deceiving, from gambling, from popping drugs in our mouths. Ya Rabbi Kareem, protect us from pride, from arrogance, from unjustified anger. Ya Rabbi Kareem, fill our hearts with the nur of iman, nur of yaqeen, nur of tawakkul. Bless us with such qurb and such marifat. Bless us with such a bond with you that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Nafs or shaitan, dono ne milta. Hai kiya hai mujhko tabao. Hey, mere maula, meri madad kar. Chahta hoon main teri pana. Garche pur khata hai, par kahan jaye tera banda. تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ و امید کرم آیا تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ و امید کرم آیا تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ و امید کرم آیا اے رب کریم blessed with the best of dunya and akhirat. Remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of mankind around the globe, especially the Ummat of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hey Rabbi Kareem, Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Sudan, Somalia, Europe, America, each part of the world the Ummat is not being arrested. Hey Rabbi Kareem, unki madad farma nusrat. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters. Ummat of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Whether they're in hospitals, clinics, homes, amongst us, bless everyone with shifa. Ay Rabbi Kareem. Those who are weak, give them strength. Purify our hearts of malice, greed, pride and arrogance. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are on journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who have no children, bless them with pious and righteous. Bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam begged for us. Bless the ummah with their goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitna that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Nabi sallallahu. You are well aware of the good wishes, desires, aspirations of each and every one who has raised his or her hand. Ya Rabbi Kareem, fulfill their good wishes, desires and aspirations. You are well aware of the difficulties, hardship, pain, suffering of each individual. With your fazl, kindness and ihsan, remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul qareeb, wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.